then we do a thing we call it scriptural affirmations. It's just a reading of the scripture that we will later preach on. So let's look at that today. I'll read the first lines, and then you guys can read the bold. 2 Kings 22. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king.
And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he read it before the clothes.
And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahiakim the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me.
And for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us.
So Hilkiah the priest and Ahiakim and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahiah went into Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikvah, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read.
Because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched.
But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. That they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today wanting to hear your word, wanting to experience your word, wanting your word to change us. We welcome you in this place, but this is your place, Lord. We're glad that you welcome us here. Fill us this day with your spirit. Lead us, guide us, help us as we worship you in spirit and in truth. Be for your glory and honor. You may be seated. Day has a gravity to it. I don't know if you can sense it as much as I can, but there's a weightiness to it. It's not. I wouldn't call it solemn. That wouldn't be the right word. But it's serious. It's like a Bible sober, a seriousness, because we recognize that being with Jesus, hearing his word, obeying what he has to say, is important. It makes a difference. And one of the neat things is that at some points we get to commit to helping others to do the commands of Scripture. We commit to helping others be what they're supposed to be throughout their lives. In this particular case, we call that dedication. We're going to dedicate a couple of children here today because their parents, see, the weight is on the parents. The weight is on the parents. I just want to be clear about that. Did you get that the weight is on the parents? Because those parents are to raise those children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. The words of Scripture are important. We are to let the Word of God dwell in us richly, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're to help each other. And the first place that starts is right in the home. And today, Daniel and Caitlin Schmidt want to dedicate their children. So would you guys come on up? So you got to understand, to be a part of this church, you have to bring a baby offering. Lay it out on the altar here. Now we recognize this is not baptism. This is not joining the church. This is none of those things. This is helping these parents to know that they are supposed to love their children well. Hi.
It's okay.
So, we are going to do this because it's the thing to do. In a little while, would you like them to come up and help you?
No?
You don't want them to come up?
Yes, we do. Do you want them to come up
now? Mommy's dead. No. She says, I have my own. That's okay.
You're okay.
All right. With the family and friends that have come to be in agreement with them, please stand. It's okay. Would you hold hands with me? Ooh. So Anna and Lily are just beautiful children, full of life, and we're so very grateful for them. Parents, will you commit to helping these children grow in the fear and the admonition of the Lord? Will you, to the best of your ability, provide for Anna and Lily a Christian home where God is honored and His word is taught?
We will.
Do you agree to live in such a way that your words and actions will commend Jesus and His church to Anna and Lily? Do you promise that you will be spiritual guides for Anna and Lily, praying and watching for the day when they will be ready to receive Christ as personal Lord and Savior? To the rest of you, family, do you agree to assist this couple in every reasonable way to raise these children in a way that honors God? Will you help these children as they grow and mature, showing them love and kindness, helping them be obedient to their parents? I know that was a challenge. They kind of hesitated, like, you did see Anna, didn't you? To the rest of the congregation, Do you, the people of God in this church, covenant with these parents to provide a loving church community for these children? Will you help this family as they continue to mature in Christ by teaching the Bible and living with and before them in godly ways? We have Lily. Sienna, you're missing this girl. These hugs are special, aren't they? Yeah. Bless you. I do bless you. I bless you with the Spirit of the living God. And I ask that God will pour out upon you all of your life in very special and real ways. I ask that you and Anna will grow up in a home where you feel love, acceptance, that you will be encouraged to be all that God wants you to be, where you are taught the truth of the Word of God, and you are loved unconditionally. Lord, please bless this baby. Please bless Anna. And bless their parents to be what you have called them to be for your glory and your honor. Amen, right? Yeah. All right. You may be seated. What a honor it is to know that we're in the midst of people who love God and love each other. This is not small. Sometimes we do these things by rote, you know, it's time to do them, those kinds of things. But we try real hard here not to do stuff just to do stuff. What you've seen, we mean. We mean for those children to be loved and cared for and to grow in the things of God. Pray for these folks. I want us to pray for each other. I want us to love each other. I desire that we would be so filled with the Spirit of God that we forever, forever be different. Thank you. Lost for words this day. What can I say to all of these folks that will be helpful? What can I say that comes from you? What can I say that is right? Today, Lord, we need you. We need that sweet word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and as discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We need you. We need to hear your voice. We need you to speak to us. You must change our hearts. You must fix us. And Lord, we admit readily that we need your fixing. We need you to work in us and on us and through us and around us. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scripture today comes from 2 Kings. And as usual, I'm going to go back a little further. We'll go back to verse 1 in 2 Kings 22. Because I want you and I to understand something. How do we live in the midst of a place that's being spanked? How do we live in the midst of a place that is undergoing the judgment of God? I know some people don't even like to hear that. Well, we Christians, we're not undergoing any judgment. We're not going through that. Well, maybe we're not personally, but everybody else around us is. This world, we are suffering because of our relationship to God has been messed up. Now, it would be nice to say, no, we've been good little boys and girls, and everything that we've done has just been perfect. Yeah. I don't think so. And I think we find ourselves in very challenging times. Oh, we have some wins every once in a while, but they don't seem much to be excited about. And I wonder, how do we, you and I, live in the midst of this judgment? How do we navigate, and how do we prosper in the midst of these crazy times? You see, I believe that God wants us to have a good life. I believe that God wants to help us. I believe that God loves us. He loved us so very much that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe that he wants us to enjoy that life even now. We're the people that once we have been changed, once we have been made different, we're the people that walk in love. We've got the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We're the people that have the joy of the Lord, and that joy of the Lord is our strength. We're the people that have a peace that passes all understanding. We're them, you know. We should be going around with joyful, peaceful lives. We should be the people that have faith. Faith to move mountains. Faith to get done what needs to be done that will be a blessing to us and to our friends and neighbors. We should be the people that can get through, that can wait, that can take it because we have perseverance, we have patience. We can do these things. That's a part of the package of being born again. That's a part of the package of being changed. We have been changed. If we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and if we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we've got to believe his word. We've got to believe that these things are true. We've got to believe that we have self-control. No more saying, as Christians, I can't help myself. I can't seem to control these urges, this stuff that's going on in my life. Maybe we ought to say, no, I'm just decided I won't control these things. I know. It sounds so depressing. We're supposed to be the ones that have power, this self-control, this sense of God working so that goodness flows in through around our lives. So how do we live in the midst of all of this stuff? There's crazy everywhere. And if you haven't found any crazy lately, look in the mirror, it's there. There's crazy everywhere. There's stuff that's happening that it's hard to grasp. Why in the world is this going on? It's hard to imagine how we can even begin to deal with this kind of stuff because it comes in so many different forms. We look at things and it's hard to even analyze. Is this right, wrong, or indifferent? And is there such a thing as indifferent when it comes to the Spirit of God? What's right? Who's right? Who's wrong? How can I make it through? And Josiah helps us to see how that's done. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. many of us, when we came into the family of God, were pretty young. You know, we came in pretty young. We got saved at an early age, and we kind of avoided some of the stuff. But we didn't tell anybody about the stuff we didn't avoid. But you know, we just kind of got there, and we were okay folks, you know, and we're okay. And Josiah, like us, was royalty, you see, because if you are born again, you are a royal priesthood. You're part of the family of God. You're in there, and you are special because he has said you are special. And what he says is true. And Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jediah, the daughter of Adaiah and Boskath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. That's a big deal. What a testimony this kid has. This young man served for a good while, and he did the right thing all of his life. You know, some of us feel like we've really tried to do the right thing all of our lives. That's what we feel like. And we just struggle with the fact that we have to live in some of the situations that we find ourselves in. We wonder, why do I have to go through this? Why? And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah. He's about 26 years old now. In his 18th year, I'm sorry, that would be 36, wouldn't it? So, No, that's 26. Okay. All right. You don't have to do math to be a theologian. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah the priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it unto the hand of the doers of the work that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. This guy kept the house of the Lord. Let's say they kept the church well. He wanted to fix it up. He wanted to make sure it was clean and tidy. He wanted to make sure that everything in the church was running smoothly. They wanted to do the right thing. They wanted to spend their money right. They wanted to live right. But they found out something. Hilkiah, the high priest, said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. I wonder sometimes, have we lost in the house? You know, Bibles abound in the church. There are lots of people here that have hard-bound Bibles. There are many people here that have Bibles on their phones or some kind of device. There's lots of Bible here. But have we lost that Bible right here in the church? Do we have that Bible in our heart? Have we taken the Bible in such a way that we have heeded the word of God? That word of God that tells us we are to abide by its words. that we are to teach its words, that we are to live its words, that we are to be the people of the word? Do we really direct our lives by the very word of God, that powerful word, that amazing word, that wondrous word? You know, we're going to pass away like grass, but the word will still be here. But have we lost the word in the house? You know, you need to think of that carefully. Because when you are not majoring on the word of God, you can't be sure that you're hearing the Spirit of God. Because the only way that we as humans can judge whether we are hearing the Spirit of God is if the Spirit of God is in line with the word of God. And you can be assured that since the Spirit of God directed the writing of the word of God, that the Spirit of God and the word of God will not be separated. They will be in line with each other. We need to grasp that. Have we been people who have to wake up and find the book of the law in the house of the Lord? And Hilkiah gave the book unto Shaphan, and he read it, and Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, "Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord." He's still doing the business stuff. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, "Hilkiah the priest have delivered me a book." And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, he rent his clothes. He was in agony. He was broken because he discovered what he should have known all along. You know, and it's really a funny thing. He probably had heard a lot of the word over the years. He probably experienced, I mean, it wasn't that there was no one that didn't have words. They had all these great prophets that were operating at this time. Jeremiah was operating at this time. There were prophets that were operating. There were people that were speaking the word of God. There were written words that they had there. But for some reason, when he heard this word that was lost in some dusty corner, and he pulled it out and they read it, it struck them. When's the last time the word of God struck you? When's the last time you discovered, I'm not living in line with that? When's the last time you discover, my life is missing it? When is the last time you looked there and you couldn't reconcile what you saw in the mirror with what you found in the word? Verse 12. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Hicam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah the servant of the king, saying, "Go ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that which is written concerning us." What do you do when you discover that not just you, but the people around you just have not been living in line with truth? We don't like to ever admit that. That's not, mama was doing just fine. She was a good woman, and she always lived in line with the truth. That's a lie. We need to judge for ourselves, to have a personal relationship with this book, a personal relationship with the Jesus of this book, personal relationship with the Spirit of this book, personal relationship with the Father. We need to know what this says and what it means, and are we living in line with the truth? And I'm telling you, after all these years, I've got this thing so wrapped up in my heart that it's strangling me sometimes. Because I don't always get it right. And when I discover that I have not gotten it right, when I discover that I don't have it right, I have to go back to God and say, God, I have fallen short. And he says, son, all have fallen short. And I say, but Lord, you have blessed me so. And he says, the gift of God, it's for you. But God, what do I do now? Well, son, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you. Cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I'm willing to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, but you will deal in truth. You will deal with what the truth is about your situation. And until you deal with the truth of your situation, until you deal with the truth of who you are, you can have no peace of God. Don't be coming asking for peace. Don't be coming asking, how can I get help, but I just want to stay in my sin a little while longer while I feel good about it. No. That's not what God would have us to do. Verse 14, so Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess. How dare you mess with my theology? And went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalem, the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. They found a person who knew the word of God and knew the God of the word, and asked, how can we get this straight? We need to be people that are so steeped in the Word of God that we can come to each other and people will help us deal with these situations. You know, you have emotional situations that you are so close to that you can't make a good decision on your own. We need each other. We are called as a body. You know what a body does? Each limb, each thing feeds something else. Each thing carries something else. Each thing does something for something else. And very few parts do anything for themselves. They are designed to do for others. We are designed to do for each other. There are things that you are dealing with emotionally that you can't see, right? Listen, if you have been carrying a grudge or anger for year after year after year, I'm telling you, you can't see, right? If you've let that thing keep you from worshiping God in spirit and in truth, you can't see, right? If you've allowed something to keep you from enjoying the very presence of God, you know, some of us can't worship. You know, some of us are, we are, this is a, we're a reserved congregation. Now we love the Lord. We'll match that with anybody. We love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul and all of our might, and the things that we do show that. But sometimes people are reserved because they ain't worshiping. Sometimes people are reserved because they don't get the import of what they're hearing. Preachers are fragile creatures. Yes, we are. Will can tell you that sometimes when he's doing his thing, he's out there and he's sharing the word of God, and this profound word sprouts up, and he says it, and he's sure it's of God, and he's really, really excited about it. And he just happens to look out of the side of his eye and somebody yawns. And his day is ruined. It's like, what's wrong with me? Is something wrong with the way that I'm presenting? No, it's not me. It must be them. What's wrong with them? What's going on? What's wrong, my earth? Okay, now I'm okay. They can't see me cry. Except at appropriate times. It's crazy. This is, we're fragile. But I'm telling you, folks, some of you are missing the experience of the joy of God because it doesn't come the way that you want to receive it. It comes from Huldah's mouth instead of Jeremiah's. It comes from this person that you don't necessarily believe in because they have different persuasion of things. We need to be so sensitive to the word of God that when we hear it, no matter where it's coming from, it touches our heart and changes us. Please don't forget what we're doing today. What we're doing is we're learning to live in the midst of judgment. How do we learn to live in the midst of this crazy time? I believe America is in the midst of judgment, okay? Why I believe that is because of challenges of leadership, because of challenges of economy, because of the downward spiral of morality, because of all kinds of things where there's so much wrong and there's no clear answer. No clear answer from the people that should know. So if we're living in the midst of this, how do we go on and prosper? Because this king, this one called of God, went on and prospered. He went on and had a good life. He went on and made difference in his community. Listen, right after he dies, his community bounces right back into sin. He does all kinds of things we won't talk about today, but he does all kinds of things to clean up things. He took away idols, and he cleaned up places of worship that weren't right, and he destroyed some things, and he got people supposedly pointing at the king. He got things going the right way, and he died, and they bounced right back. But because of his attitude, because of the way that he thought, because of the way that he behaved in the midst of all of this, he was able to prosper even in the midst of the whole nation being judged. And you can prosper too in the midst of this mess. You may not be able to get everybody, but you can take somebody with you. You can do this thing. Let me hurry on here. And we go to verse 15. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Remember, there were promises that would things would happen if they didn't do right. They didn't do right. These things are going to happen, right? Because they have forsaken me. They have forsaken me and have burned incense on other gods, and that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus say, shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because, listen, this is us, because thine heart was tender. Are you tender to the word of God? Because thine heart was tendered, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord. Have you humbled yourself to realize that you are in need of a Savior and that you are to be obedient to a Lord? Have you humbled yourself? Have you cast yourself onto Him? Have you confessed with your mouth, agreed with God about what He said in this word about you and about the world around you? Have you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart that Jesus is Lord? Do you believe it? Does your life reflect it? Will you reject anything that doesn't go along with that? Will you say that, God, take me right where I am and help me in this situation so that I might be the one that is right with you? Are you tender to the word of God? Because thine heart was tender and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. We've got a lot of so-called saints that are dry-eyed and I don't understand. I don't know if dry-eyed saints can make enough headway in this world. My heart breaks when I look around and see what I see. Are you sensitive enough to the Lord to see? And hast rent thy clothes and wept before my house, who have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Are you living a life that is causing there to be peace in your time? Now, you want to leave a legacy, and hopefully down the road it'll be even better. But what about peace in your time? Is there peace in your home? Is there peace in your neighborhood? Is there peace in your church? Is there peace in your workplace? Well, if it's not there, you should be bringing it. You should be praying for it. You should be standing up for it. You should be trusting God for it. But you can't ignore it. Today we dedicated some children. We want them to grow up in peace. We want them to experience joy. We want them to live in a way that they're not thinking Christians are just a bunch of hypocrites because they talk a good game, but they don't live it. We want them to have the joy of the Lord. But you can't pass along what you don't have. Would you bow your head with me? Lord, we believe that we can live in the midst of this broken generation, and we can prosper, and we can be the agents that bring peace. We can be the ones that make a difference. Oh Lord, help us to be little islands of the King, little outposts of the King, that everywhere we go, we make a difference so that lives are made better. Lives are made different. Now, Lord, we recognize we can't do that unless we are yours. So we confess with our mouth. We agree with you. Believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we celebrate that you have saved us. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for giving us peace in the midst of judgment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If God is speaking to you, feel free to come to the altar. Feel free. Maybe you want someone to pray with you, or you just want to pray alone. But feel free to allow God to speak to your heart about your condition and about what you're going to do now.